Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are Linda Shockley, Doug Mitchell, and Monica Ortiz Uribe. And they're here to talk about a special program that's been going on here at UTEP for quite a while. Linda is the managing director of the Dow Jones News Fund. Doug Mitchell is a little bit of everything. He's worked with a lot of our students, Margie Montes, Myrna Membrilla, Brenda DeAnda, Monica Ortiz Uribe, and he is the director of the NPR Next Generation Radio Project. And Monica Ortiz Uribe is one of our proud graduates, and she is a local public radio reporter. Thank you all very much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having us, Louis.
And so let's start with you, first of all, Linda. Tell us a little bit about this program.
Well, the Media Multimedia Training Academy is a project that's funded by the Dow Jones News Fund, which is a nonprofit foundation at Dow Jones and Company. The idea is for college professors, particularly from historically black colleges and universities and Hispanic-serving institutions, to learn about digital media and the advances in the field so that they can go back and teach their students to be more competitive in the field, so that they can get jobs, they can get internships, and they can tell the stories that aren't being told as well as they could be, because these diverse journalists are not in the field equipped with these skills to tell these stories.
And how long has this program been around, and how long has UTEP been part of it?
Well, UTEP has been part of it for about 8 years now, and the program was actually in existence for about 11 years.
And when you talk about preparing some of these professors, It's very true, because sometimes grade school, high school, the students know more already about a keyboard and other stuff than the parents, the teachers. And so this is very important, and to teach the professors what's going on.
Right, exactly. And the interesting thing about the students and young people is that they know how to use all these applications and these devices, but they're not using them journalistically, so they're using them for their entertainment, and they don't see the applications always immediately of how could I use this to tell a story about an issue that's important to me or that I think people need to know about. So this kind of training helps the professors get up to speed, so to speak, with what's available and what's out there, and then to direct the students, because the critical thinking skills necessary to learn how to use these kinds of applications and devices and techniques are there for students once they're guided in the right direction. And so even if the professors don't know about a particular device, they open the gateway for students to start that inquiry and to really start to practice and use it. Because journalism is something that you have to practice, and if you don't do that, you're not going to be effective. So we need to get students really started early and the professors really thinking in those directions.
We are this morning also visiting with Doug Mitchell. And Doug, as I mentioned, is the founder and director of the NPR Next Generation Radio Project. He worked with NPR for many years. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I got to work with him, had the pleasure of meeting him and working with a lot of our students. And
In El Paso, we like to call him El Padrino.
El Padrino. Which means, in English, El Padrino. Okay. Okay.
The Godfather, okay?
Yeah.
You made us an offer.
You made some great offers. Tell us about what you've done, working with these young people. Linda mentioned about the fact that, some of these young people know a lot about social media. And sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, it can create a problem as far as social media goes, because sometimes young people or amateurs will get something, put it online on YouTube before it's actually been verified.
Yeah, so things have changed a lot since I started the program back in 2000. There's a lot more technology out there. There's a lot more distribution out there. There's a lot more. There's a lot of everything out there. The project I do has always been a one-to-one mentoring scenario. Students apply. And we also do early career now. We've expanded to doing 5 years or less of a professional experience. And what we do is we pair generally a student with a professional journalist, and they will spend a week doing a multi-platform story. And also what we've done is gone from traditional reporting to what we call non-narrated storytelling, which means you have to do, and podcasting had a lot to do with that, but you have to approach the story differently. We also, we just finished a project in Reno, Nevada a couple of weeks ago, We did these audiograms. We've used the Adobe Creative Suite. You're like, what's that got to do with radio? Well, it has everything to do with telling a story. And even the professionals on our projects learn a lot about the kinds of opportunity that exists with technology to be able to tell and distribute stories. And we, of course, being public radio, we just try to do it in a more qualitative way.
And even, you know, when you're talking about reading skills and just reading in general, books on tape, audiobooks have just skyrocketed because people love to listen.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean about podcasting. You can pretty much, there are way too many of them now. I think that's a good thing because anybody can do anything at any time. And I think it's still important for those of us who are still practicing good journalism to still impart basics, the rules, ethics, all of those things. You have to continually teach them. We have discussions about, you see a photo, whose is that? Who owns it? Can we use it? Do we need to get permission? In radio, we didn't take pictures in the old days. Now we're taking pictures, and so we have to get permission for that. Things have changed a lot, but I think for what we do with the Next Generation program is like Linda said, we want them to work. We want to get them jobs, and a lot of it is skill building, but it's also networking. The one-to-one relationship helps the student and/or early career professional. They have another person to talk to, like here to my left. Monica and I met when she was just getting out of college, and here we are a few years later sitting in the studio with you because we stay in contact constantly, and now she's a mentor on the projects I do.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like teaching what you've learned. I mean, I was listening to you speak to some of the professors down there and, you know, the importance of wearing headphones. And I remember when I first started here, some of our students were saying, I don't like to wear those headphones. They look so dorky and bulky. And now they're wearing them all the time.
Right. Yeah. So the interesting thing about this project is we take a different perspective from NextGen, which works with college students. Here, the professors are becoming the students. And often they have the skills to do basic journalism, to tell a story, but they don't have as much practice with the technology that now we have to augment our storytelling, including video, including audio, and photography, and then all these programs that enable you to do all these special effects on your audio and on your video. So we bring in these professors and we remind them what it's like to go out and work in the field. Only now they're going out as what I like to think of as octo reporters because they've got all these cables and wires and microphones and gadgets that they're taking with them that perhaps they never had before. And we teach them how to use them and how they can enhance the story, their storytelling abilities, so that they can have the practice in the field and the confidence in the classroom to impart that knowledge on their students. So we give them 2 days of workshop where we're in the classroom and we teach them, how do you collect audio in the field and why do you need to wear your headphones and put your microphone in a certain place? And then we take them out into the field again, reporting an actual story. This time the participants were very interested in border issues and learning about what the politics of what goes on the border. And so we line them up with a tour with the Border Patrol, a visit to the port of entry, some protests that were happening locally regarding SB4, and they took all their gadgets out there and they struggled and fumbled and learned how to use them. But they have now come back and they are seeing the possibilities that they didn't before. And hopefully our goal is that they keep practicing when they get back home and they'll feel more confident when they approach their students.
And of course, as you mentioned, the interest in border issues, people who have listened to public radio here in the Southwest are very familiar with your voice. And when you did so many stories for Fronteras, and tell me a little bit about your experience in that, going from being a student and working with Doug, and then all of a sudden, you're out there and doing stories.
Well, participating in this program to me is a way of saying thank you, a way of showing gratification for all the mentoring I received as a student and proud graduate of UTEP. I attribute most of my success in my career, which I've now been working as a reporter for 11 years. a lot of it came from mentors, Doug Mitchell being one of the first, El Padrino being one of my first mentors. And so now I've reached a point where I feel seasoned enough that I can become a mentor and give back to students who are expressing interest in the journalism world. And even now, I mean, we all recognize, me and my fellow reporters recognize just how important and necessary our work. And it feels even more important than ever to do our work, do it professionally, do it well. And this is part of my obligation and commitment to the profession, is not only doing it myself out in the field, but helping others get excited about it and learn how to do it to the best of their ability.
And I would also add that's part of the Next Generation program is not just simply focused on the students and the early career, but to have them become mentors themselves. I can't do it myself. I've learned that over the last couple of years. And as we do more and more of these projects, I have a roster of 60 to 70 professionals from around the country who raise their hand and say, I'd like to do that. And my challenge is, of course, it's like a staffing issue. How do I fit everybody in the locations that we go? We partner with NPR stations. We're at colleges and universities. Getting them to work together at the same time is also sort of an interesting challenge in and of itself. But my long-range goal is to, I'm not going to do this forever. So my goal is to, at some point, not today, not next week, but to hand it over. To others as well as we move along.
And you've been involved in a lot of the conferences where professionals are, like Unity, NHJ,
right.
Black journalists, Asian journalists, all these conferences where professionals are there.
Yeah.
You bring in young people and so they can see, you know, this is how the professionals do it and you can be part of them as well.
Yeah, I did that for, when did I start? 94 at the Unity conference in Atlanta. These days, I don't do the student training at the projects at the conferences anymore, mostly because I think it's a more direct to consumer if we go to the university and the public radio station. The stations and or university fund our projects. Back in the old days, back when we had money, it was an NPR funded project. But now, by focusing the dollars locally, we can focus strictly on people who were right there and people at the station should be paying attention to. So that's really how I've changed the program, in addition to the non-narrated storytelling, to let's do this as a local station-based project. And they raise their hands and say, you know, yeah, we'll pay for that.
Yeah, my whole radio career began at one of these Next Generation trainings in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
I was leaving my newspaper job in Waco, and Doug was hosting one of these at UT Austin,
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of asked him, hey, can I come in and crash on your course? I was no longer a college graduate. I was a working professional, but I still wanted to learn audio. And in the course of that week, sitting through their workshops, I learned, and I was able to take those skills back here to El Paso and work as a freelance reporter covering the drug war in Ciudad Juarez for national programs.
One last question is, you've been talking about some of the stories that you all did and throughout this program. Are those available online for people to see?
Borderzine.com. Yep, everything is there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today. We've enjoyed visiting with you, and thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Padrino. Okay. We've been visiting with Linda Shockley, Doug Mitchell, and Monica Ortiz-Oribe. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.